Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also yell at your smart speakers. Mike Golic Jr. here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And you might be wondering, where's Jhené Egwumike? Well, if you've not been with us, Jhené is off conquering the world, this time in the form of Los Angeles Sparks training camp that she's been getting ready for, and so we know she's got to hold it down there. She's a pro athlete. We knew these things were going to come to the table. If you were listening earlier, Jason Fitz has been here with us, and you might be wondering where he has gone. Now, I make some joke because Jason Fitz is infamous for telling everyone that he's got a tinkle. That's always his word, but he's actually got to go and get ready to help out with some things for the radio show that he hosts, Spain and Fitz, on ESPN Radio from 7 to 9 Eastern every day right after us, which means we get to rock solo for this segment. So, as we've done in a lot of these, if you want to call in and talk about the draft, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN, as long as it doesn't have to do with the 49ers and that third pick or Mac Jones, we're good to go. We can kick it like that, and we can talk before Jason gets back here. We need to have some fun without him while he is off cheating on us. But in the meantime, as we've headed to the draft, we've talked so much about that third overall pick that we've all got a little bit of drain on that. We're all a little bit sick of it. And so we thought it'd be cool to just go one pick lower. That's apparently where we decided to settle in on in this news cycle. Like, we couldn't get down to any other positions, really. We just want to deal in that top end of the draft. And it did get more interesting today because yesterday we heard whispers. Yesterday we heard things we weren't necessarily sure about coming on here and talking about how serious it was. But today we've seen it on ESPN.com. We've seen it on the topic bars on First Take. Julio Jones and his future in Atlanta now in question. Julio Jones and this idea that could the Falcons go ahead and field some calls about him? What the likelihood of them actually dealing a guy who's going to leave their franchise, I believe, in the leader in catches and yards by a Falcons receiver and trailing only Roddy White as far as touchdowns in a Falcons uniform. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be one of the best Atlanta Falcons that we've ever seen. The difficult question becomes, what do you do with Julio and how does it affect the fourth overall pick? Now, I think that the outcome should be the same at four no matter what happens with Julio Jones. I think you can comfortably take Kyle Pitts at four and feel great about that for a number of reasons. But I want to let Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, who joined the 6 o'clock Sports Center yesterday, lay out the scenario that the Falcons are looking at with the fourth overall pick, with the future of their quarterback in mind and one of their star receivers.
There are a lot of teams surrounding the Falcons who noticed how much time Arthur Smith spent with Kyle Pitts at his pro day, who know the type of generational talent that Kyle Pitts is, and there are people who believe that he is the best player in this draft. And so if the three quarterbacks, whichever quarterbacks they are, come off the board in the first three picks, that leaves Atlanta with the possibility and option of taking the player that many consider to be the best player in the draft, especially at a time when teams have been calling to inquire about the availability of Pro Bowl wide receiver Julio Jones, who the team could wind up dealing, but would not wind up dealing until post June 1 because of the salary cap ramifications. And so the Falcons could put a deal in place now, but it likely would have to involve 2022 draft compensation. But it sounds like Atlanta, if given the right offer, would be open to it. Teams are calling. We'll see whether they can get that done. And maybe that influences the decision of Kyle Pitts at the number four overall selection.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. with you guys. You can also watch on ESPN Plus. And Adam Schefter's right about a couple of things here. The Falcons are in a miserable cap situation. Like, it's not quite New Orleans Saints level of miserable, but as Mina Kimes said here the other day on our show, our ESPN NFL analyst, like, they're going to have to move some things around to be able to sign all their draft picks adequately. That's where we're at. And so if you can get an offer for Julio Jones, that is substantial. And reminder, Mohamed Sanu, who was a couple years younger but markedly less productive in a Falcons uniform, they got a second-round pick from the Patriots in exchange for him. I think you could fetch a pretty decent price for Julio Jones, who, yeah, only played 9 games last year, but I think was over 1,400 yards in 2019 during that season. In 2018, he led the NFL in receiving yet again. So this is still a top-flight receiver. The fourth overall pick is where this gets interesting, because I think no matter what, taking Kyle Pitts at that spot makes sense. Because when you look at the timeline at quarterback, and I understand, I saw Mel Kiper the other day mention they've got to decide their future with Matt Ryan. When they move some money around into the future in his deal to try and alleviate some of this cap system, some of the same conversations we've had about the Green Bay Packers and what they haven't done with Aaron Rodgers yet, that felt like a tip saying, okay, we have an idea the Falcons understand this quarterback is owed too much money in the next 2 years for us to really do anything else. And in this day and age, do you really want to waste two valuable years of a rookie quarterback, even if it is someone incredibly talented? I know Atlanta's probably looking hard at all this Justin Fields conversation and saying, we can get back what we missed out on with him in a Bulldogs uniform in a Falcons uniform now. But I would still look and say, it's the best of both worlds. If you're looking for how much transition the Atlanta Falcons can stomach in one sitting, I don't know of turning the full page at quarterback right now when you've got a weapon that can help you through it. Kyle Pitts is listed by a lot of people as a weapon. They lump him in. We've lumped him in conversations with the top wideouts in this draft. But the difference is he still has that tight end next to his name. And he's not a dynamic blocker, but he does enough. He's a willing blocker enough for you to use in situations and use in spots that can help you against opposing defenses in the modern NFL, and especially help a young quarterback down the road. So if you get a Kyle Pitts in here, who I think is going to do really well in an Arthur Smith play-action heavy offense, we know Matt Ryan can find the tight end with the best of them. He's got great recognition with that position built up over years. Why would you not take that guy, help in the interim, and at least secure what is viewed by so many as generational talent at that position? So when in 2 years you finally get to a place that's financially stable enough to move on, where you'll probably still won't be a great football team. They won 4 games last year with Matt Ryan at the helm. There's a lot that needs fixing around here that probably won't happen as expeditiously as they want to in that time period. And so if you've got Kyle Pitts around, you're investing in your future that allows you to move on from Julio Jones if you want and still have a space alien in that receiver room, technically, we know tight end room, and feel good about it. And if you decide to keep Julio, even better. One space alien gets to learn from the other in this position. I think Kyle Pitts is going to make sense no matter what at four. And I think the Atlanta Falcons would be foolish to not entertain some offers on Julio Jones while the rest of the league still sees him the way I do, as a guy who can be a number one for your team. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's get some of your draft questions in here before Fitz gets back here. Let's go to Stacy in Chicago. Stacy, you're on Chenea Ngola Jr. What's your draft question?
Quick question. Do you think the Bears are going to do something stupid and try to move up and not get anybody? Or are they going to sit back at 20 and try to get the kid from Texas A&M, Stanford, or who I think they should go for is Kyle Trask?
So I appreciate the call. I don't think – now, this is an interesting team because I think they should be a desperate team. Ryan Pace and Jim and Matt Nagy are guys that I think are on trial for their football lives here in this upcoming season, and I don't think Andy Dalton's necessarily the weapon you choose for battle of your own volition going into that. That being said, I don't think any of the quarterbacks that you named there, Mills out of Stanford, Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M, or Kyle Trask out of Florida, should be ones that you are picking in the first round of this draft where the Bears are. I don't think, unless we see someone really fall, that the Bears are going to move up to that extent. That's a lot of capital, but this is a team that could and should be desperate, and so maybe I shouldn't rule too much out with them. Let's go to Ryan in Auburn. Ryan, you're on Chenea Ngola Jr. What's your draft pick?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the Falcons with Julio Jones trading up for the number one pick overall, swapping with Jacksonville, where Jacksonville could reunite Urban Meyer and Justin Fields.
I appreciate the call. I appreciate the sentiment. I appreciate the attempted anarchy. Again, we're in a world where Chris Sims had Justin Fields going 32nd overall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a mock draft earlier today. So all things are possible through the mock drafts who strengthen us. That being said, I don't think there's a shot in the world that that's going to happen. Trevor Lawrence is going to go number one overall. That's been set in stone for a while, and if you forget why, just go and click on a Clemson game. Pick pretty much any Clemson game, and you'll be reminded why pretty quickly. You got to start with the generational change there. I don't think we're going to see any movement at that spot, so we can put that one to bed. 888-729-3776. If you want to get at us with some NFL draft questions, as long as they don't have to do with the 49ers and with Mac Jones. But coming up next, we will get to some of those draft questions and try and figure out where the NFL is going when it comes to so many of the wide receivers we've had coming off the board. Next here, Chinan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinan and Golick Jr., the podcast.
All right, I'm just...
Nope.
Jason, it's gone on too long. I genuinely don't know what to do with this. Chinan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Jason Fitz, hanging out in for Chinan today. And we have been dealing with this and seeing this online for I don't know how long today during the show. Our producer, Shannon, has been reading these tweets and has been obsessed, laughing hysterically during the break, that on the internet right now, people have been going around. And Shannon, I want to bring you in on this. Apparently, the internet has, again, I missed this the first time, going around bringing up and saying that Babe Ruth was black.
Apparently, this is a thing. And I had no idea, but apparently, like folks are posting old stories and from other baseball players of that time and different fan bases, and they're posting pictures of the Babe Ruth's family. But apparently, there's a big there's a consensus out there that believes that Babe Ruth has some black in his lineage.
This is incredible. Jason, Babe Ruth is black. What does this do for your interpretation of the situation?
888-SAY-ESPN. That's how you get your draft questions answered. 888-729-3776. We can talk about draft. You know what?
You don't want to get into that at all, Jason?
Mac Jones, 49ers. Feel like we haven't talked about that at all.
You know, Jason, we got a great call on line one if you want to go to it.
Oh, my God.
You should just steal the old Stu Gotts line. Cannonball! Right, there's nothing to do with it. I'm just amazed that this is where we've gone on the internet now, and apparently a lot of people are believing this is true. So, Jason, I won't make you bring this
up anymore.
It's a
good time to remind everybody, Spain and Fitz, 7 and 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN apps. XM channel 80.
We could take your NFL draft questions coming up right now. Save Jason. We got Dennis in Hawaii who wants to save Jason with your NFL draft question. Dennis, you're on Chinan Golick Jr. What is your draft question for Jason?
Well, I know you're sick of it, but I have a take on the third pick I've heard from nowhere. You take that third pick and you package it with one of two players, Nick Bosa or George Kittle. I prefer Bosa. And you trade it to Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, certainly would be an interesting
way to go.
If
Love is the guy, you do that. What would happen had they traded Brett Favre after 1 year and got three first-round draft choices for him and installed Rodgers? How many Super Bowls would they have won with three more studs?
You know what? That's impressive. We appreciate the call in here.
Why is Green Bay taking that trade? That's my question. Like, Green Bay, 13-3 last year.
He said if they think Jordan Love is the guy.
Right.
Which, by the way, now, that was a great provocative sports talk radio call, and all I heard was him slip up and say Brett Fart, and now that's all I can imagine for his name.
Oh, my God. This has gone just completely exactly as I expected it would. Like, yeah. There's no part of it. Brett Fart.
Like, but
I love the theory. I just always ask, I tell fans in general, and I've done this myself, when I've sat there, especially with draft day trades. Wow, hard for me to say draft day trades. I've sat there and said, you know, the Raiders should trade this, 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 and this. And what we often forget to do is really put ourselves on the other side of it. So if you are a fan and you're like, oh, well, we just got the third overall pick and George Kittle for Aaron Rodgers. You feel good about that if you're a Packers fan today? I think the answer is no. So, there has to be some level. The perfect trade is the one where both sides feel gross. Both sides don't feel gross after that one.
No, well, and Jason, I'd always say, it's fun to do these things, and we have all these trade things we can go online and plug names into. These are GMs, and I know we've gotten younger at a lot of these GM positions, more analytically inclined, and more aggressive. But at some point, these are also people's real lives and real futures that you're playing with there. And if you're talking about making the decision of that gravity, where we heard from Brian Gutekunst, the Green Bay Packers GM the other day, saying Aaron's our guy, we're still working on stuff with him right now. We saw Jordan Love trade betting odds popping up yesterday. Like, that doesn't sound like a place that's sure enough to go ahead and try and package insanity together and make it work on the other side.
If they were going to trade Aaron Rodgers too, I think that's something that would have been worked on for months, because you want to counterbalance. You want to get as many offers as you can as possible and build up and see what else you would get. I mean, realistically, I don't know. If Aaron Rodgers was available on the trade market, why would they not have approached the Jets, for example, to try and get their litany of trades starting with number two?
Let's go to 888-729-3776 and head to Jason in South Dakota. Jason, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. What's your draft question?
Well, speaking of feeling gross, those Raiders could have had Aaron Rodgers thrown to Calvin Johnson. As a Broncos fan, I love the fact that they didn't. But I want to go to the Broncos. I really think they only have two choices, either Patrick Surtain or Micah Parsons. I don't think they should trade up for a quarterback, but what do you guys think?
What if one falls to them? Would you consider it then?
No, because here's the deal. Drew Lock, yes, he is probably the fourth best quarterback in the West, AFC West, but this will be his first year with Judy, Sutton, Hamler, Noah Fant, and a full offseason with the new offensive coordinator from last year. So I say you give him another chance. You get Juwan James back at right tackle. He's going to have a better offensive line. If he's bad this year, then yes, go after someone else next year. But if you waste a pick, you're already paying Drew Lock nothing this year. So why use your first-round pick on a quarterback that's going to ride the pine for at least a year when you can get Micah Parsons and make that defense even better?
Well, I don't think a first-round quarterback would ride the pine in that situation. We appreciate the call, Jason. I think it would be insane if Justin Fields, let's say he's the name that's been the fall pick for a lot of people, makes it down in that range. I think it would be insane if he made it past Denver.
Yeah, I think we got to remember that Justin Fields at this point is the second, in both of our estimations, second best quarterback. So I don't care how many other quarterbacks are taken. If he falls, I'm with you. Also, interesting from our stats and info group, Drew Lock threw 8 interceptions when pressured last year. That's the most of any quarterback in the NFL. And Broncos quarterbacks were pressured on 17% of pass plays. That's the highest mark in the NFL. So you talk about needs for the Broncos. They're going to be sitting in a situation where they can get one of the best offensive linemen here. That, to me, is a screaming need. No matter what they have a quarterback, they've got to find a way to better protect. So
Brett Favre.
They do. Do you just
Brett Favre.
Wait, hold on. So is that the sound of the last dying gasp of our caller trying to get back in on this conversation?
Brett Favre. Brett Favre.
I want to know what he was going to say about Brett Favre now relative to the Broncos.
Brett Favre.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Let's get one more. Let's go to Michael in Portland. Michael, you're on Chenea and Golic Jr. What's your draft question?
Hey, so there's all this nonsense about Russell Wilson during the offseason. I'm interested in what you guys think the Seahawks are going to try to do during the draft this week.
Well, they've got limited chances to do so. We appreciate the call. A whopping 3 picks for the Seattle Seahawks in this draft. And Jason, I think that shows you, and I think their moves during the season showed you the value that the Seahawks placed on this upcoming draft. I think I heard this from Mina Kimes, that when you look, what they gave up for Jamal Adams in a lot of people's mind was them saying, this is going to be one of the most difficult years to scout and assess talent. And so, if we can bring in talent we already knew, we know it's going to be kind of a crapshoot this year. I mean, 24 range, I can make the joke and say that Seattle's in line to pick another running back at the end. God forbid if Najee Harris falls past the Steelers there, the Seahawks would be the overwhelming beneficiary. But, you could see them going offensive line there still with what Russell Wilson has asked, if you really want to make him happy in that spot.
I see him going edge rusher. And this is another stats and info nugget. The Seahawks, 23rd in pass rush win rate in 2020, and they haven't been good in that category in a long time. We talked earlier about how there aren't clear-cut pass rushers, but when you're picking that late, you can take a little bit of a chance on one. So if somebody's fallen, I can see the Seahawks being active there and saying, hey, let's just get somebody, knowing that it might take a year or two for them to get where they're going to be, but they can help us in an area of need.
It's a great point. Reminder, last year during the season, they traded for Carlos Dunlap, got him out of Cincinnati to try and start something, and did. There was some production that certainly got help there, but they haven't had anything they can rely on in that vein. So we know their star quarterback has asked for protection. We know that defense needs someone not named Jamal Adams who can rush the passer, which is a weird thing to say about a safety. honestly, in that range, too, when you talk about the things that fit in there, if they didn't already have a Jamal Adams, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah would be a fantastic fit in that kind of defense. But he basically, the comp he gets is Jamal Adams. So we have gotten all of these draft questions. Coming up next, we'll give you draft answers. Our mock rolls along here on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Exciting news.
Oh, really?
About the future of a very important franchise coming up in about 10 minutes.
We're talking Raiders in 10 minutes?
Listen, it's called the tease, baby. Okay. Just stick with it.
Okay.
Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And that's where we got ahead because we have been doing so much draft conversation around here. We've been mocking the hell out of this entire thing. We're on picks 23 and 24. We're so close to the finish line, I can taste it. So, Cliff, let's not waste any time. Let's get it started, the 2021 Jhené and Golic Jr. Mock Draft.
The road to Super Bowl 56 and the Lombardi Trophy starts here.
Good evening. So you ready for the draft?
The NFL Draft is right around the corner. And instead of Jhené and Golic Jr. trying to navigate the mock draft landscape, we'll ask the people that actually cover and talk about these teams. It's the inaugural Jhené and Golic Jr. Mock Draft on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
And it rolls along. If you missed earlier in the show, we had the Indianapolis Colts select Greg Newsome, corner out of Northwestern. We had the Titans select Rashad Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota. And now we head to 23. The New York Jets are on the clock, and we head out to the Goodyear Hotline to help us make that pick. Alan Hahn, who you guys hear is the host of Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, joins us now, the 23rd overall pick. Alan, the floor is yours.
Okay, with the 23rd pick in the 2021 Jhené and Golic Jr. Mock Draft, the New York Jets select Tevin Jenkins, tackle, Oklahoma State. I love it because Mekhi Becton is on the left side. You got a guy on the right side. And Zach Wilson now is protected by two blocks of granite for the next 10 years. That's how they built it the last time around when they got to conference championship games.
Hon, I
got
to tell you, I love the pick. It makes a lot of sense. Did you have any moment where you thought about maybe getting a weapon for a young quarterback?
Yes, I had weak moments where I thought about, of course, Najee Harris, because we're always about that. We're always about the weapons and the skill players and whatnot. But I just think back to when Mark Sanchez was the quarterback, a rookie quarterback, and he had himself an offensive line that had vets but also had a couple of young guys. And that Jet team, those successful teams in the early, I guess, 2010, I guess you'd say 2010, 2011, those teams were built with DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold, and those were two first-round picks that helped build that, and that's what I think you definitely need with a young quarterback this time around, too.
Building with beef, a man after my own heart. Alan, we appreciate the time and the insight, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, brother.
You got it.
Jason, have we ever talked about the fact that Alan's headshot looks like if you played electric guitar instead of fiddle?
So you're saying it looks cooler than my headshot?
Yes. He looks like you if you were really cool.
No, he's got like a bit of a lead singer in a 90s band vibe.
That's
too.
What I mean. Yeah, like, yeah, instead of playing fiddle, you decided to be the lead singer in a 90s band, you would be Alan Hahn.
You have no hair.
Let's head to the 24th overall pick in the draft, as I've got Jason lashing out now. The Pittsburgh Steelers sit at 24. And to help us make that pick, we're going to head back out to the Goodyear Hotline. Cliff, hit them chimes. As Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us now. Jerry, the 24th overall pick is yours, my friend.
With the 24th pick in the 2021 Jhené and Golic Jr. Mock Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Travis Etienne, running back, Clemson.
Jerry, why Etienne and not Najee Harris?
Well, I think it's basically going to come down to a coin flip, fellas. It's going to be one of those two running backs. But I think they feel that Travis Etienne might be a better fit for what they want to do with the new offense that they're going to install with Matt Canada. You know, it's not going to be the Kansas City Chiefs or all this motion or razzmatazz, but you're going to see a lot more pre-snap shifts, a lot more motion. And if they institute some wide zone blocking stuff, ATN is probably a better fit for that. Now, look, it won't shock me if it's Najee Harris. That's how closely they have those two. But I believe when the time comes, if they are both there, and they're the only two they're interested in the first round, if they're both there, I believe they'll take Travis Etienne.
Jerry, we appreciate the time and the insight on the pick. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas.
I am shocked, Jason, that we've got a running back at this point. I've said for the Steelers, I don't think they should draft Najee Harris at 24. I love Najee. I love both these running backs, but I think with the Steelers' litany of needs, including up front on the offensive line that just got reshuffled because of retirement and free agency, I don't know how you can justify, after all we've seen, spending draft capital at this spot in a running back class that I think is going to have a lot of compelling names into the second and third rounds.
I think that's the biggest part of it, because I don't mind, frankly, spending a late first rounder on a running back. I talked last night to Ian Fitzsimmons about the principle of you just get one and you run him into the ground. You got 5 years, you just can run him into the ground, you're going to churn and burn. I don't mind that concept, but in this particular draft, like, Javonte Williams is someone that we've talked about earlier. Like, he's going to be in the available probably late second, early third. I'm not sure that there's a huge difference in what they'll do in the pros for a guy like that.
And I saw this pointed out by Mike Renner over at PFF. Najee Harris didn't have a run longer than 35 yards in his first three seasons at Alabama. Travis Etienne had 18 35-plus yard runs over that time span. Questions about how explosive Najee can be in those spots. So there you have it. We're through 24 picks in this mock draft so far. We're taking you all the way up till Thursday. And Jason, as we get ready for the draft, I can't help but hate a little bit right now on some of our colleagues, because we talked about the draft house that the Los Angeles Rams had. I'm seeing Lindsay Theory, our great ESPN reporter that covers the Rams. Apparently the reporters were out there at that draft house for the press conference today. Like, we should be hanging out with some NFL team right now in some fancy draft house.
Is there a reason we haven't taken the digital shows that we do every year and put those in some sort of like house in the Hamptons and made it a big party house? Like, you take Summer House on Bravo and you combine it with the NFL draft. We get tanked and we talk about what's happening.
First off, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Jimmy, baby, if you're listening, which I know you always are.
TBP, let's go.
We got ideas. Yeah. We got them in drove. They might be a little expensive, but we got ideas for you. I was trying to think about this because if anyone hasn't seen that house, it looks like what Cliff Kingsbury was trying to pull off last year in the draft. Real young, hot head coach, sitting in his mansion in a nice, warm environment, looking like a snack, ready to go for this one. I want to know, Jason, if you could embed outside of the Raiders, because we know they're your fandom team, but if based off the personality type of the coaching staff, which team's draft house you would most like to embed with?
Well, I think the Rams' draft house would be pretty... I mean, it's young. It's a dynamic draft house. I'm in on that one. The Titans draft house would be kind of fun. Like, I think Vrabel can pound down some beers.
Like, I was going to say, you saw the home setup too. He had the weird guys in the leotard in there. Like, there's a lot to like about Vrabel's setup.
That would get a little freaky. Yeah.
For me, it's easy. And it's the inner fat kid in me, but who wouldn't want to go hang out with Andy Reid? First off, you're going to be there in your nicest Tommy Bahama floral shirt. You know it's going to be well catered with Kansas City barbecue. Maybe Patrick Mahomes stops by. He's got ownership stake in all these great teams. I said the Kansas City Royals are in first place right now. Like, there's a lot to like about being in the energy in Kansas City. And again, you are going to leave well fed and covered in barbecue sauce.
I think I didn't really account for snacks. Snacks were an undersold part of my decision making. So now I'm leaning far greater to the Tennessee side, where everything will be fried and bite sized. So I'm feeling good about that.
See, yeah. I was going to say, these are the things you've got to factor into the draft house. Location, location, location for Los Angeles.
Like, Bruce Arians, though, I feel like I kind of like to party with Bruce.
I tell you what, I want to be at the draft after party with Bruce Arians, because based on what we saw on the parade, the guy knows how to have a good time. And I feel like if you give Bruce Arians a glass of scotch and some, you know, late nights and free time, that guy's going to spin you a yarn or two. Make no mistake, it's a yarn. It's not a story with him. Guys spinning yarns. If you want stories and draft coverage, L. Duncan and Kevin DeGondi are hosting the ESPN radio draft coverage starting at Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Mike Tannenbaum, Bart Scott, Ian Fitzsimmons, they're all going to join L. and Kevin for days one and two. But coming up next, the Golden State Warriors, the dynasty that was, trying to build the dynasty in a new fashion. We'll tell you where they're headed next here. Chenea and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz hanging out with us on ESPN Plus.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz, been kind enough to fill in for Chenea today with us. You normally hear him on Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 Eastern, coming up right after our show. Chenea, going to be back real soon. It's training camp right now. She got responsibilities. She got two jobs, probably even more than that. But Jason, this is also a nice reminder to people that this is the first and last reunion show that we've got cooked up here, because both you and I, at separate occasions, hosted from 4 to 6 a.m. Eastern on a program called First and Last back in the day.
Yeah, and congrats, Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys. He and his wife welcomed a new baby girl into the world today. So there you go.
Hey, congratulations. Snaps up for Nick Carter, because we used to have Backstreet Friday when I was on First and Last. You upgraded it to Boy Band Friday when you were on First and Last. So
there's a Boy Band channel, by the way, on SiriusXM.
Oh, God.
But you have to get it like through the app. But, oh, let me tell you, whew. There are moments where I'm like, this is the best channel ever, and then there are moments where I'm looking at my phone and I'm like, wait, who is this?
I can safely say you can all get this and it won't cost any less, because if it did cost, or won't cost any more, because if it did cost more, Jason wouldn't have it.
Yeah, no, I'm frugal.
Now, if you want more of Chinne Igwumike, if you missed her today, check out First Take, Her Take podcast, hosted by Chinne Igwumike, Charlie Arnold, and Kimberly A. Martin, discussing and debating all the biggest and best sports stories and giving you plenty of the good from their personal life. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen wherever you get your podcast. But we got to get ready to send Jason Fitz off to yet another radio show. Guy never stops working. He refuses to stop working. And so we're going to try to keep his spirits up and keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chinne and Golic Jr.
All right, Jason, I don't know where you've been at on the NFT conversation.
Yeah, lightly looking at it from the side, afraid to do anything with it because I'm risk averse, as the kids say.
Sounds about right. Nah. Well, no risk it, no... I don't know if these are biscuits or bits, but no bits. Risk it, no Bitcoin. The Golden State Warriors have launched an NFT collection on the OpenSea platform Tuesday morning, becoming the first professional sports team to do so. Brandon Schneider, the Warriors president, said, "This is the wave of the future, so we've been studying what the best way for us to get involved and create something for our fans is." Jason, you going to be buying Steph Curry NFTs soon?
I am not, but I am keeping an eye on this, because across the board, I mean, the Mavericks have been talking about integrating NFTs into their season tickets in a way that will allow them to keep rights and royalties on future season tickets. So there's a whole conversation that is a long one about where the future of NFTs will be and how it will impact sports. It's not going anywhere.
You've seen just in general the digital currency start to really become a mainstream part of the conversation with athletes. Trevor Lawrence just signed a deal with a platform that is the wallet essentially for cryptocurrency. It is starting to be an everyday part of these players' lives. And when you look at what came before it, you can see why. Because keeping that same energy, a 2003-2004 Upper Deck Exquisite Collection rookie patch autograph from LeBron James, numbered out of 23, was sold privately for $5.2 million. A normal, not the NFTs, now a normal cardboard rookie card for LeBron James sells for over $5 million. That's why people are chasing the NFT craze.
I think this is a time to remind ourselves all of the one important question. How much money do you have to have in the bank to the point that you're comfortable spending $5.2 million on one basketball card?
It's an impressive amount of money that I know I will never in my life touch, but boy, oh boy, that's why I'm buying lottery tickets every week. Now, Chinne Igwumike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. This one's pretty cool. Keeping that same energy, because they thought they caught Schefty sleeping on this one. The other day, Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider, tweets out that Vikings wide receiver Justin Jefferson will be the first player featured in the Fortnite video game. Fortnite is implementing Justin Jefferson's gritty dance into the video game. You've seen him and a lot of other players do that end zone celebration. And people were coming to Adam Schefter's neck, because in that first tweet he didn't include, well, what happened? I saw Tyrann Mathieu even say, are they going to pay the person who did invent it? You think Adam Schefter didn't do his homework? He followed that up and said Allen Davis invented the dance, or was the one first credited with it on TikTok, I believe. They have paid Davis and are in conversation with Justin Jefferson's team for future collaboration. Jefferson isn't trying to steal the dance and is sending the ladder back down.
But there is also a little bit of a moment here. Like, if you've ever been to a line dance club in Nashville, they don't pay dance rights for, you know, the Cupid Shuffle. Like, there's somebody that invented these dances, and people don't typically, so far in life, that's been considered intellectual property. So I'm interested to see what this means for the future of that world, because there are a lot of dances out there people want rights to.
I think especially as we see things quantified by what you can record on it, TikTok has become a place where you got the dances on there, a lot of people biting other people's dances, and we're saying, you know what, we want credit for, in this case, I guess you'd call them the artist of the dance.
Choreography, like, you choreographed it. No, like, if you choreographed the dance, then cool. It's just never that. It's not just going to affect the digital world. It'll affect the normal world, too. I can't imagine everybody putting a quarter in the jar to do the Cupid Shuffle.
And listen, I know you wouldn't, but maybe some of us would think about it. Appreciate you sitting in with us, Fitzy. Everyone, stick with us here on ESPN Radio. You can hear more of Jason Fitz coming up on Spain and Fitz.
Spain and Fitz!
Brett Favre. Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.